thousands and thousands of jobs. And the documents that indicate the utilities kind of, the national utilities thought, what are we going to do about this? And it was a political decision to continue reprocessing. It was not an economic decision. It was not a resource decision, because they decided they were going to use mixed oxide fuel in light water reactors. This does not use a significant part of the uranium resource. I'll show you the chart. But the French, like any other system that tried to do the same thing, would use less than 1% of the underlying uranium resource. And there's no way out of it in light water burner reactors, which is what we have today. In that context, well, I'll show you some data later on. But it is completely incorrect to say, as it is often said here, that the French are using 90 to 95% of the resource, because they are not. It could be possible if you had a system of breeder reactors, but that is very, very far off. The Japanese target date for commercialization of breeders is 2050. So this is, you can look at the details of the chart at your leisure, but at the left end is the resource of uranium that goes into the enrichment plant. So we don't count the losses upstream of the enrichment plant, which are a few percent. You can see immediately most of it already goes into the depleted uranium stream. For every kilogram of fuel, you have near 6.4 plus kilograms of depleted uranium. Then you have reprocessing, and you get the useful parts of it become thinner and thinner and thinner, even if you re-enrich the uranium, which is not a very, the uranium is essentially a lost cause, because it is a contaminated, isotopically degraded uranium. You've got U-236, becomes a nuisance in the reactor. You have to enrich it more than you have to enrich natural uranium. You've got to spend more money. You're contaminating your enrichment plant. To the extent the French have done it, they've done their re-enrichment in Russia. The rest of the recovered uranium is just sitting there. Mostly they use the plutonium in 20 reactors. They've had to refit the reactors. They cannot use the plutonium in all their reactors. They have 58. At most, it could be 28. They spend, let me give you some of the data. So in this scheme, they are using about 0.6 some percent, to my memory. I should have put the percentages up there too, but I didn't. I'll fix it. And put percentages, but less on the order of 0.7%, so necessarily less than 1%. This scheme cannot produce more than 1% of the uranium resource use. So this 90 to 95% idea is a technical fantasy and should be eliminated from the discourse. Breeder reactors, yes, but we don't have them, and we're not going to get them anytime soon. So this is La Hague. So despite Mach's use, so La Hague also did foreign reprocessing. Those contracts are almost all gone. But France does store plutonium for other countries. They have more than 50 metric tons of plutonium. Now, France is the best. France is the best in reprocessing. They actually use MOX. The British, who reprocess, and this is sort of likely to be sort of more likely the US scenario, like the Japanese and the British. The British haven't used any of their plutonium. They have more than 100 tons of plutonium stored, and their Royal Society once declared their plutonium as of zero value, actually negative, because they're going to have to spend money because they can't leave that much plutonium sitting around. It's in Sellafield. They spend 2 cents a kilowatt hour more for every kilowatt hour generated from MOX fuel. They discharge 100 million liters, give or take, you know, it varies from year to year, of liquid radioactive wastes into the English Channel. They call them discharges. But if you put the same in a barrel and throw it overboard from a ship, it would be illegal under the London Dumping Convention, but they call it discharges and it's okay. 11 of the 15 countries in Europe, governments, have asked the British and the French to stop these discharges to no effect. The public in France doesn't like a geologic repository in their neighborhoods. It has been even more intense opposition in many areas of France than there has been in this country. And I know that for a fact. I've visited many of these areas, or some of these areas anyway. Reprocessing in France is not an exemplary thing. It is a result of policy inertia and an investment in a direction that went wrong and an inability to stop. It has also created problems for waste disposal, even as the most successful program in the world. So they have mixed oxide fuel. When you use it, you get mixed oxide spent fuel. They have a repository program, which we have evaluated, as I mentioned. Their biggest headache in their repository program is how are they going to dispose off this mixed oxide fuel? Because the boreholes that are needed are very big, and one of the weaknesses of their repository location is when they make big boreholes, the host rock tends to develop cracks. You know, we have pictures of it on our website taken by me and part others of our geology team. We had a world-renowned rock mechanics expert. When I chose our team to visit the site, I did not ask them their position on nuclear energy. I only looked at the geologic and repository expertise. And to this day, I'm not very clear on where they are. And I think it's important for me to not be clear. I wanted geological and rock mechanical expertise, and I got it, some of the best in the world. Now, they may actually have to go and find a second repository, not because they may not have the space in this location, but because it's going to be very difficult to dispose of mock spent fuel. When you have mock spent fuel, the plutonium isotopic composition is even more degraded than at the start. Reprocessing it results in a practically useless plutonium that you cannot use. And so they've got all this spent fuel piling up. One thing that's not in the slide that I should mention is recently I did so post-Fukushima evaluations were done of safety in the French nuclear system. And I evaluated the official reports and published a report. There's a summary in English on our website, but the main report is in French. And one of the biggest risks in the French nuclear system is not in the reactors. It's at La Hague. And they have to store acid waste from the Purex plant. And a loss of power to the acid waste for 2 or 3 days could produce a devastating, devastating accident that would cause, you know, widespread. Fortunately, they have not come close, but they have had total loss of power for a few hours once in 1980. So what are the prospects for reprocessing? I took a quick look at the summary of the report that was published yesterday. And the idea that the federal government are going to pony up $20 billion from the waste fund to build a reprocessing plant, in my opinion, is entirely fanciful. Not because I think it's not a good idea, but because the Blue Ribbon Commission recommended against reprocessing. They recommended reprocessing research, but that's a far cry from aqueous reprocessing of any kind, whether it's Purex or Urex or anything like that. That reprocessing research would be linked to Generation 4 reactors and has nothing to do with the existing system. In my opinion, because both the plutonium stream and the uranium stream from reprocessing are pretty useless economically, reprocessing existing spent fuel is not worthwhile, whatever your position on nuclear reactors. If you have breeder reactors, you would use the depleted uranium as your resource. We have 500,000 tons of it. It's good for 1,000 reactors for 500 years. If you turn it into plutonium, you can have 500,000 reactor years of plutonium. You don't need depleted uranium as a free resource. It's sitting around. Why would we want to extract uranium and spend a lot of money and create a lot of waste? So here are the waste data, what happens when you reprocess LWR. So you have a smaller volume of high-level waste, but you multiply your transuranic waste by 163 times. These are DOE data. You multiply your total repository waste by 6 times. You multiply your low-level waste by 3.7 to 11.6 times. And you multiply your radiological transports by more than 7 times, in addition to the liquid discharges that I mentioned earlier. This is not a sensible course for the country. We must have a consent-based informed process, what I call an informed consent process. And informed, before we make decisions to move this stuff, before we make commitments of large amounts of money, and before we re-involve the DOE in it. If the DOE is going to be re-involved, I think it should be a congressional decision to re-involve the DOE to spend a lot of money on spent fuel management, because they did a pretty poor job the last time, in my opinion, demonstrably so. It was across the industry, non-government organizations, the regulators of the utilities in the country, everybody thought we should have a new institution. We must first create this institution. We must have a siting process. We must have standards. And I can understand that, you know, people see we've had a failed process and we should do something and maybe there's an economic opportunity, but I really think it would not serve the country well, and it would not serve the process well to do it. We must have these things done in advance. And because I don't think the reprocessing money is going to be forthcoming in any case, if you get the consolidated storage, what's going to happen is you're going to get spent fuel, and that's going to be it. Now, so we need a science-based siting process. There's a lot of fine print in there, but there's a way in which we can get to a successful repository program. The Swedes have the most successful program, and I think they're not a bad example. It's not that they've done things perfectly, they haven't, but it's a pretty good model to follow. And I think the idea that somehow the failure of the Yucca Mountain process and the Blue Ribbon Commission provides a big economic opportunity that the state or the SRS area should be lobbying for is not only not likely to be very successful, it's not likely to end in a good result for spent fuel management if successful. Thank you.
Questions? I have a couple.
Go ahead. Well, thank you for that. You recommended setting up an independent agency.
No, it's not my recommendation. The Blue Ribbon Commission had lots of meetings. They had public hearings. They took public comment. And across the board, the industry, government agency, myself, we lots of people testified before the commission. And while it may not have been unanimous, but the broad, across the spectrum opinion was that a new agency should be created in the Nuclear Waste Fund should be managed by this agency, and that it should, the NRC and EPA should set these generic standards, you know, early in the process. And so these were recommendations of the Blue Ribbon Commission. And the commission also advocated against reprocessing spent fuel, though they did advocate research on reprocessing, which I don't support because I don't see where it leads.
Okay.
So this is the Blue Ribbon Commission recommendation, which I support.
And you said that the Savannah River site ought to be lobbying for this economic opportunity. Which?
No, I said not.
Oh, not lobbying.
Not. Because I think, not because, you know, if you're successful, certainly you'd create some jobs. But I think we really don't want another dead-end process for spent fuel management. We don't want, if you're successful, that's the most likely outcome. If you're unsuccessful, it's a waste of sort of emotional, financial, and political resources to go after that, in my opinion. Obviously, just one opinion.
And I agree with you. The Swedes and the Finns have got it right.
I don't know about the Finns. I haven't studied the French program. I think I didn't say the Swedes have got it right. I think the Swedes did a pretty good job. They had some failures early on. They had some public relations failures early on. But they developed, for instance, what did they get right? They developed underground labs. Their initial locations were promised not to be the locations of disposal, if I'm remembering correctly. Their technical criteria for disposal, I thought, were excellent. Now, whether they can meet them or not. So they chose granite and a reducing environment and copper containers, as you know. And their containers are supposed to be the primary, but their geology is supposed to be good enough to retain the waste if the containers fail. I think this is a very sound redundancy philosophy. Unfortunately, the French actually abandoned it halfway into their process. I thought they should have retained it. And the United States abandoned it completely because everything was on the containers. So the Swedes have had some difficulties recently, you know, to actually prove these very, very hard goals it's much more difficult once you make a mine and make a giant hole in the geology that at first seems good. I mean, I think the biggest problem in a repository is not finding the right site. The biggest problem is once you put a mine and put thermally hot waste in there, you know, fill it back up, now you've got a lot of joints and cracks and so on that have to reestablish the original water chemistry and not, at the same time, not leak and behave like the original rock. And to prove it, this is a tough job.
Well, the rock's going to leak, so.
I mean, the repository in Sweden and in France are going below the water table. So so you want to control the water chemistry. Part of the problem at Yucca Mountain was that it was in an oxidizing environment above the water table. That was a very, very big problem at Yucca Mountain.
Well, the Governor's Council is one of those people who testified before the Blue Ribbon Commission that
right.
We should have a separate agency. So I missed something. You're saying that this agency and DOE will be in conflict? I don't understand that.
What I said is, suppose you get this idea, the people who want consolidated storage succeed. Now, the DOE, there's no agency. So the DOE is kind of going ahead and recommending it made a report, and there's some kind of siting idea. There's a date for a repository. If the waste comes here and there's no new agency, it will be under DOE authority because the DOE is the only agency currently charged with managing that process. And if it's funded to do it, to do consolidated storage, then the DOE will have a bureaucratic interest in bringing it here. There will be a very big lobby here in this state. You have, you know, important representatives in Washington and a sort of institutional inertia in maintaining a large part of the process in the DOE. Now you create a new agency and say, we're giving you the nuclear waste fund, but we're not going to give you the whole nuclear waste fund because we're already given part of it to this other agency. Then how much of it goes to the DOE and how much of it goes to... It will be very difficult.
Yeah, I just thought Congress was working on that new agency and that Congress was going to dole out the money to whoever asked for it or whoever they thought it should go to. So I'll have to think about that some more because I'm still confused as to, and I apologize for cutting off your last slide.
No problem.
We have a lot of spent fuel in this country, even
yes.
If we turn out half the lights in this state tonight.
Yes.
What do we do with the spent fuel?
Yes. So I agree that, you know, the current dispensation is not very good. One of the reasons that the Blue Ribbon Commission recommended consolidated storage is taxpayers are hemorrhaging money in fines, deserved fines, mm-hmm. Failure of contract. My suggestion, at least I believe worthy of public discussion, is that at the closed sites, which were the first ones recommended by the commission, as you know, is that there's no bar for the federal government to acquire those closed sites. There's no need to transport that. The federal government can take charge of that waste right where it is. I believe that spent fuel that is sufficiently aged should be put into hardened storage so we don't have a mess if there's a terrorist attack or an accident. I think actually, and I think it might be maybe in my slides, but certainly in an older report that I've written, the vitrified waste storage at Savannah Riverside is quite exemplary of something that could potentially be terrorism resistant. And I was talking to a person who sat next to me at lunch today that you could develop jobs by consulting for hardened on-site storage across the country instead of consolidated storage. No, I'm serious. I mean, you have some important technical capabilities. I've admired many things that you've done, including the vitrification plant, which has been very successful, not the pre-processing, obviously, but the storage of the canisters. So I think at the operating sites, you know, some of them have land that the federal government could acquire. I'm not against transportation. Eventually, we're going to have to transport this. But I think needless transportation without some clear idea of where it fits into an overall program means transfer from one canister to another, then another canister, another. You're multiplying risks and costs without any clear endpoint.
So you're saying, I just want to make sure I understand this. All the independent spent fuel storage facilities now at the utilities should be turned over to DOE, and DOE manages the fuel at that site.
No, it obviously can't be all of them. It depends on how they are located. I think at many utilities, so it would have to be a site-by-site consideration. Some utilities may not have much land that the federal government can take over or that the utility can sell and still operate their facilities. And I haven't done the study to say this is a sweeping across-the-board recommendation that I can make to you technically. But at the closed reactor sites, to start with, there's no bar. At many sites, I think there should be no problem. Whether it can be done at all sites and whether you might need some interim storage, at some sites that might need some transportation, I don't know. You know, and there might be safety reasons why you might need to transport. You know, obviously we've got spent fuel in seismic zones in California. You've got spent fuel in Prairie Island in the middle of the Mississippi in Minnesota. So it might be better to move some of that since we're going to have decades of storage. And as I said, I'm not against transportation. What I am against is doing things that will, in the short term, that will compromise the chances of success of what I think should first be a science-based, safety-based, and informed consent-based process. That should be national, not looking locally to local economic advantage. Local economic advantage is a good thing. I'm not opposed to it. This drives a lot of us and all of us. But
thank you. Other questions, Don?
Yes. Doctor, during your presentation, you had mentioned the fact that you thought it in the best interest to start a new agency not affiliated with DOE to handle the spent fuel. You also said in your presentation that the last two long-term sites were closed due to political pressures. That were changed.
Yucca Mountain.
Okay, was changed from New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, yes.
Okay, to Yucca Mountain. And both of those were due to political influences. With a new agency, what is to say that the political influences, what can we do to keep that from happening?
Representative Wells, you know, in a democracy, there's a healthy political influence. Important decisions must necessarily be political. So I'm not against political decisions. I'm against politicized decisions where you have a clear role for politics at the start of the process that should ensure its technical integrity, because we're dealing with something that's very long-lived. We want to make sure that the health of our, you know, children and their children, you know, actually far into the future is not compromised, the best we can say today. So I think we should put in place a transparent, accountable process. You know, I'm not saying Congress should lose control of it. But what happened the last time was the Nuclear Waste Policy Act, not a bad act. It had some very strong points. There were two repositories. There were process of investigation. The initial repository investigations were not done according to very good criteria. For example, in the eastern sites, a perfect score was given to any technical criterion where there was no knowledge. So it was an ignorance is bliss approach to scoring. And they're obviously not a sound way to do things. And then political pressures, eastern sites canceled, one western site selected. Known national academies said in 1983, not in words, but if you read the charts correctly, that Yucca Mountain, not such a good site. 83, 4 years before, DOE commissioned study. I've often asked the DOE, has anybody in your agency read this report, or am I the only one? And So I think that's the kind of process you don't want. And ultimately, the cancellation of the process, the whole thing was in, the whole trajectory was in a framework that, so if you have environmental standards, and that's why I think they should be set in advance. We did have environmental standards that were set in advance. So it was good. I don't particularly like the standards, but we had them. And such as we had them, Yucca Mountain was very iffy. And then we say, okay, we can't meet these standards, let's have new standards for Yucca Mountain. We can't do that. So once we set in motion a process that we all agree is protective and technically sound and we'll, has a good chance of reaching the goal, we should respect that process. Unless there's a real health, safety, or fiscal accountability, you know, if there's fraud, so on and so on, to stop the process and fix it. That's what I'm asking for. So I'm not asking for an abandonment of accountability or democracy or politics. I'm asking for a process of integrity in which politics, science, technical, fiscal, all go together.
Thank you, Dr. Makatani.
Thank you
very much. Appreciate it very much. Our next speaker is Rick McLeod, who is the executive director of the SRS Community Reuse Organization, and Rick is going to talk about a study that I think just got published yesterday on community perspectives on managing the fuel cycle. Yeah. Welcome.
A glass of water before we get started.
Okay. Is there water over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to y'all today. I guess it's been a couple of years. The last time I was here in front of the council, we were talking about our nuclear workforce initiative that our organization had just started. And I kind of probably need to start a little bit with what the SRS Community Reuse Organization is, or probably what it's not. We are a nonprofit 501c3 organization. We're kind of a regional group focused on supporting job creation in the five-county area, the region of South Carolina and Georgia. These are the counties that basically either surround the Savannah Riverside or has a large employment population from Savannah Riverside. So that includes Aiken, Allendale, and Barnwell counties in South Carolina and Richmond and Columbia counties in Georgia. A little bit about CROs. We're not independent or unique in just our own organization. Back in the mid-90s, DOE really set up about 15 community reuse organizations. Eight exist today, so we're one of eight across the DOE complex. Similar to the BRAC closure where you had redevelopment authorities, that's what I can basically give a similarity to our organization. So we're looking at workforce transition, looking at trying to use resources and assets at the site to develop new jobs or other economic missions for the site. And this talk's going to be basically, I guess, a continuation of what is informed consent-based that our last speaker kind of coined, and that's really what our study was all about, is what does that mean, what is informed consent-based, and how that works into the whole process. Just a little bit of background, the Blue Ribbon Commission back in January of 2010, that's when President Obama originally formed the commission. They came out two years later with their recommendations. There were eight total. Our study really concentrated on these four, basically. And the first one is really the main one. We were looking at what is consent-based, what does that mean, how do we help define that? And like I said, informed consent-based, that's a very good term to use. How do we coin that and how do we make that move forward? Then in January of this year, it has been mentioned the DOE came out with their response to the Blue Ribbon Commission. They called it the Strategy for the Management and Disposal of Used Nuclear Fuel and High-Level Radioactive Waste. The DOE strategy outlines several new authorities, such as consent-based siting, funding reform, creating a new governmental organization, or a not government organization. Some folks call it a Fed Corp, similar TVA, or Government Corp is really what the strategy calls it. All of these will require some type of supporting legislation. Dr. Lyons, who's the